Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you this morning. It's Thursday. It is July 9th. Man, it's flying by. It is July 9th, 2020, and we are projecting by the Holy Spirit. I believe that this country is ripe for judgment and that a third and fourth wave are rising in the sea of humanity and are about to make landfall upon this nation. They are coming. The waves are coming. The question is, can you feel it? Can you sense the encroachment of spiritual adversity? America is ripe for judgment, yet people, for the most part, do not want to hear that. Those who are in the darkness shout to those in the light, "You are haters and bigots." However, this is not true. For those in the light who are shouting into the darkness, repent, are showing more love than those who love their sin and will perish forever. You remember in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, Jesus said, "Men love darkness rather than light, and they would not come to the light lest their deeds would be exposed." We live in a generation right now where we call good evil and evil good. We call darkness light and light darkness. We call those haters who tell the truth, and we say to the liars that they are good. It's an amazing time to be alive. It truly is an amazing time. And I sense, and I was wondering if you sensed it as well, encroachment, the thickness of the darkness that is coming upon the United States of America. Are you feeling the weight of it? Are you feeling the tangible presence of darkness? Is the world being set up right now for the arrival of the Antichrist? And when I say arrival, I don't mean he's flying in on a jet plane, going to make landfall in Washington. I'm saying that the earth is about to experience a great shaking because of one of those great impacts that it's going to receive. And the impact, according to Revelation chapter 12, is where the devil and his angels are cast out of that heavenly realm onto the earth. And they are cast out, meaning that they are falling from that realm in the spirit, and they are landing like an asteroid, like a comet, like a meteorite to some degree. So there's something coming out of heaven, falling on the earth. And we know what it is. It is the dragon. It is Satan. It is the army of Satan, the angels that are connected to him are coming onto this planet. Is the planet right now making preparations for the arrival? Are there people in this world that actually understand, maybe better than most Christians do, that Satan, Lucifer, the beast, the son of perdition, the angel of light, the serpent, the smooth-tongued one, is coming, and they are making preparations in honor of his arrival? I wonder what it really looks like. Have you ever stopped and think about it? I mean, if the devil knows the word of God, which it appears that he knows it very well, he quoted it to Jesus while he was in the wilderness, for it is written, and the devil's had a long time to study the manual. And I just wonder if he realizes that his time is coming, that he's coming to this earth. And if he hasn't sent some foreknowledge or foresignaling to his priesthood that are in the earth who have been taken over by demonic presence. And I wonder if the satanic Luciferian priesthood is not diligently at work preparing for his arrival, knowing that when he comes, he's going to be furious. And when he comes to this earth, he knows that he has a very short time to accomplish his deeds. I just wonder, can you feel it? There was an old song, and I don't necessarily go back and listen to any of this stuff anymore, but there's an old song. Can you feel it coming in the air of night? Phil Collins wrote this song, Can You Feel It Coming? Do you sense the arrival? Do you sense the stage being set? I believe the stage is set. And I believe that the book of Revelation, the final prophecy, the final word of God to be fulfilled before the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will be after the arrival of Satan. He must come first. The man of sin must be revealed first. So I believe that the world we're living in right now has been accelerated into end time prophecy. If you've been following us for a year, maybe 2 years, 3 years, we spoke extensively about the acceleration of events, both in the realm of light and the realm of darkness that would come upon the earth. We are now witnessing the word of the Lord, again, the word of the Lord to this generation, that we have been accelerated into these events. People right now around the world, in nations everywhere, are being subjugated to something that they really don't even understand. I mean, if you were seeing a house burning on fire, burning, and explosions began to happen, and somebody came in and it was a fireman who was rescuing you, was saying, get out of the house, get out of the house. You'd probably say, man, the house is burning. I could see this. But what if somebody came running into your house saying, get out of the house, get out of the house, it's on fire, but there were no flames? That it just wasn't real. Yet today, people are shouting that the house is on fire. COVID-19, coronavirus, is spreading. 20,000 people, or it's going to get to the point of 100,000 people every day are going to be infected with COVID-19. That's what they're shouting. Everything else that's being shouted. What's happening? America, particularly, this Judeo-Christian nation, a nation of people who once understood that morality and righteousness were required to maintain stability, confidence, and a societal mindset that was healthy. Why did we know that for over 200 years? And what wisdom came into our country long ago, particularly in this final generation? And you have to admit that 1948, when Israel became a nation, we have to admit, I know this, I'm going over some groundwork, we've talked about it before, but I've got something to say here today, and we'll get to it in just a moment. But 1948, Israel became a nation. That marked the beginning of a generation. That generation is now 72 years old. The Bible tells us that a generation is 70 years, and if by power or by strength, 80 years is what the time allotment is for a generation. We are 72 years into this final generation since the fig tree put forth her branches. At that time, it was illegal in the United States of America to have pornography out in the open public. It was illegal to have an abortion. It was illegal to commit a homosexual, lesbian act. You went to prison. It was illegal in our country. There were rulers. There was a government. There was Washington, D.C. There were presidents, Congress, Senate, judiciary, Supreme Court. It was illegal. Twice in the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the Supreme Court ruled that America was a Christian nation. America was known to be a Christian nation. All this knowledge was here. It was operative. It was active. People did not have pornography. There were no cell phones. There were no computers. It was a more innocent time. And then suddenly, a man by the name of Khrushchev, communist leader, took his shoe, pounded the podium, and said, in the 1940s, we're going to destroy America without a shot fired. We'll get the exact dates. But we know that that happened. He took his shoe, banged the podium. We will destroy the United States of America without a shot fired. The how that was going to be accomplished was simple. We are going to destroy the fabric that holds this country together, which was the family, their religion, and their way of life. So the family became targeted. How did they target the family? Enter, once again, Alfred Kinsey. Alfred Kinsey was a pedophile. He had a lot of money. He was surrounded by other people that wanted to support his sexual behavior mandate. He wanted to understand sexual behavior, and he wanted to know it from babies to little boys and little girls. He employed pedophiles out of prison to help with his task. Alfred Kinsey, I dare you to look him up, to study this man. The roots of Jeffrey Epstein and all the pedophiles that they are now terrified because Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend, his mistress, may sing like a canary about a lot of stuff. It's a high security issue right now. But it's all going back to Alfred Kinsey. And it goes back even further, don't get me wrong, but in the United States, a legalization of this kind of behavioral exploration, Alfred Kinsey. Alfred Kinsey did some sick, twisted things. His books were sick and twisted. Alfred Kinsey was a very sick man who wound up dying of testicular disease, which is amazing, but he was a pedophile. His building is still there today, funded by taxpayer dollars even to this day. Search out Alfred Kinsey. One of his students, now this is all moving from the 1940s, we're going to destroy the United States without a shot fired. We're going to do it by destroying the fabric of their society, the family, religion, et cetera, et cetera. Their moral values, the principles of the American people. We're going to undermine those. We're going to break those. We're going to tear that fabric. We're going to weaken it, and we're going to start against the family. So out from Alfred Kinsey comes one of his students who was a college freshman who was a virgin. This virgin college freshman heard Alfred Kinsey and got turned on. His name, Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner became the pamphleteer for Alfred Kinsey and his exotic exploration into sexual behavior. And you know the rest. Hugh Hefner was the promoter, the creator of Playboy magazine. And when Playboy magazine was coming out into the open, battles in the courthouses began to transpire. We know that happened with Hustler. We know that happened with Penthouse. We know that happened with a lot of the pornographic industry. They had to legalize their information. They had to bring forth their corruption in an attempt to undermine the values of this country through pornography. Khrushchev knew. Alfred Kinsey knew. Hugh Hefner knew. If you're going to tear this nation apart, we can do it through sexual means. This is the truth. This is genuine, pure information. Out of the pornographic industry, going to the courts, battling it out to legalize from freedom of speech, of all things. And some other amendments in the Bill of Rights and what man had a right to do. These things began to pass. And at the same time, these things were going through courts and getting places. Rock and roll hits the United States of America. Hardcore rock and roll started changing the vibe and the environment of Christian America, as foretold by two Supreme Court justices in the history of our country, that we were a Christian nation. We've all been known as a Judeo-Christian nation because we take the values of the entirety of Scripture in the Bible. So now rock and roll is introduced, pornography is introduced, Alfred Kinsey and Khrushchev are all working. There's a goal here, a communistic goal, but how do you beat a big nation that just came out of World War II, is the superpower nation in the world? You're not going to beat it with guns and bullets and bombs. So how do we dismantle the nation? How do we break it? How do we undermine it? Well, we're going to do it through a sexual revolution. So in the 1960s, the government, by this time now, is saturated with a communistic ideology and philosophy, and the idea of a Christian nation is no longer palatable. So now what we need to do is we're going to start passing laws against Christian ideology, Christian things like prayer in schools, Bible reading. It got really scary. A group by the name of the American Civil Liberty Union, the ACLU, was released into the society to go to war with God. And that's exactly what happened in 1961 and 1962. The government of the United States decided to make war with God, to allow the sexual revolution to have its expression, which we saw in the 1960s in Woodstock, when all the hippies, all the people dropping LSD and acid, wanted to go out into this place and have all the rock and roll and the demonic spirit that was manifesting and just strip down naked and everybody fornicate. And we saw that literally happen in our nation. And it stayed around for a while. The altars of idolatry were erected, and the portals were open to demonic influence in America. It had to be legalized. So now there it is, wide out in the open. Out of that expression came Vietnam during the same time. Vietnam War now takes place. And we begin to see the infamy. Once the superpower nation in the world, now 52,000 young men, American men, killed at Vietnam for no reason whatsoever. The demonic frenzy, the demonic confusion is very real. And then, of course, everybody's getting pregnant. They don't want the babies. So now we go into another area of law where Margaret Sanger, she begins to say that black people shouldn't be, one of the most horrible things could be giving birth in this time. And it was definitely a move against the black community. But worse than that, it was against life itself. And so abortion was legalized by the same government that made war with God to remove prayer and Bibles and to allow the pornographic expression to go forward. That same government now is, after the assassination, by the way, of John F. Kennedy, JFK. We'll get into that again. So a lot of bad things are starting to happen in our country. Now abortion is legalized. And what is the agenda? Got to go all the way back. Destroy the United States without a shot fired. How will we do it? We're going to tear the fabric of their family apart. How will we do that? The sexual revolution. We'll disconnect families. We'll have people being born and we'll kill them. We will start murdering innocent blood. And that begins to take place. Now, from God's perspective, and the American people who are deemed a Christian nation are watching this and they're aghast. And they can't imagine, oh my God, what is going on? But the outcry wasn't strong enough. The removal from positions of power did not take place. The people of America, the citizens who were told in the Declaration of Independence, you need to get a new guard. They saw what was happening, but they really didn't know what to do because it came like an avalanche. Kind of like what's happening right now in the final moments of the end game of what has been happening. And this is just a minor general outline. There's deep detail to all of these things, and I think you know that. So we have abortion becomes illegal in the 1970s, and all of a sudden Hollywood begins its thrust in its movie making. At one time in America in the 1940s and 50s, it was illegal. It was an outrage with Gone with the Wind. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a darn, right? That's what was said, but the actual word. And so Americans gasped again. On television, you're letting a word come out of your mouth like that? And where are we today? You know, I know, what comes out of the mouth of people on television. We just don't watch it anymore, except for the news bits where we need to, or some good educational stuff where we are learning, okay? And maybe even once in a while, but it's been a long time, at least a year since a cowboy movie, okay? So, or a good pure flick show. So we're not legalist in that sense, but what I'm saying, the television is filled with blasphemy against Jesus Christ. It is filled with blasphemy against God. Now, in our country at one time, the psychology of our nation understood these things were bad. Abortion is bad. Pornography is bad. Homosexuality is bad. And we haven't even gotten to that measure yet, because that too is a tool in the hand of the satanic agenda to break the United States, get it out of the way, so the globalist agenda can come, defying and denying God in Jesus Christ and the Christian church, and allow for the satanic agenda to arise. The United States has been in the way. So with all these different things came, again, the abortion industry. Then we got into Hollywood, and then the 1980s were like the roaring 80s. Everybody was buying big houses. The economy was amazing. And cocaine hit the United States of America pretty hard in the 1980s. The big boys, the rich people, the people with their yachts and their Jaguars and their major cars were all doing their thing, and they were partying with cocaine, and it became a major industry in the United States. And by their sorceries, their pharmakia, their drugs, were all nations deceived in Revelation 18. And we began to watch that happen. Then came the 1990s, where Bill Clinton, who's been on Lolita Express at least 26 times, and Lolita Express is Jeffrey Epstein's plane to Pedophile Island, where you have sex with minors. Oh, yes, he was there many times with Hillary, but he becomes the president of the United States. It was said that Bill Clinton had a drug cocaine business right here in Arkansas, where they were flying drug dealers and cocaine in and out of this place all the time. And then, of course, the number of women that came up and charged him for a sexual assault, that he was an animal and a beast, and he winds up getting impeached because of his acts in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky. I mean, this man is a crazed man, and yet he's the president of the United States, creating policy for globalism, sharing the secrets of America's military industry with the Chinese. He's going global. He's going communistic, because his wife, of course, Hillary, was trained under Saul Alinsky, and the rules for radicals and the 10 planks of communism and all of that was a reality, and it came into the United States. And all of a sudden, we saw the globalization of things begin to happen. And then in 2000, George W. Bush becomes the president. And what happens in his presidency in 2001? 9/11 hits, 9/11. A major crisis has hit the United States. And out of the crises, out of the ashes, came the Patriot Act. Invasion, control, spyware, and everything else you could imagine, from the banking industry to traveling around the world, and the monitoring began in the United States. And then, after George Bush's war on terror, fulfilling Bible prophecy, by the way, this guy comes out of nowhere. Like lightning, he fell to earth by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, the senator from Illinois that nobody knew. Like lightning, he falls to the earth and becomes the president, and the nation goes wild. Meanwhile, Barack Hussein Obama lights up the White House with the rainbow colors of the homosexual agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. Meanwhile, he surrounds himself in the Oval Office, not with Christian Americans, but with Islamic Muslim Brotherhood. And only God knows how deep the trenches went under Barack Hussein Obama. But he brought the plan from the beginning, going all the way back to Khrushchev, destroy America, do it through a sexual revolution, get husbands involved in pornography, disconnect them from their family. 70 to 80% of inner city homes in the community were without fathers. Get the sexual thing going because it will mess up the beauty of what was once a reality. But now that's not working strong enough. We've got bloodshed. We've got abortion. We've got a war going on. We've got more trickery and strategy and deception going on, but that's not strong enough. We're going to have to employ the next step that in every other civilization before America, when they got to this step, destroyed the nation, whether it was Rome or any other. And what was that? Sexual perversion so deep. And it began with the movement of homosexuality, Harvey Milk. Everybody's coming out of the closet. There's a war on this. There's an attempt to stop homosexuality, prevent homosexuality from hitting the society's psychology. Don't let our children become aware of homosexuality. Don't tell them that men with men and women with women is okay. Let's stop that from happening. So the war, the waves are coming upon America. She's being tossed. The church, in the meanwhile, was paid off for limelight, big stages, mega churches, coffee cups, and a pair of shorts go to church and hear doctrines of demons tickling people's ears, telling them what they want to hear. The church is gaining influence. Look how big we're getting. Meanwhile, it had no influence but within itself to get prosperity. But it was not impacting and influencing the nation towards righteousness. It was only impacting itself to fleece the flock of God, to take the wool from the people and make the ministers wealthy, to have big names, big platforms, to preach a gospel that was more effeminate than ever before, but it played right into the next move. And what was that? Push the homosexual agenda as a strategy to destroy the United States. I don't care what little boys you use, what little girls you use. You train them, you teach them that they are the different gender. You tell them there's no scientific fact about anything of a gene. You just tell them you were born that way. And the brainwashing went deep. And I have books here that would blow your mind. You read the first chapter and your mind is absolutely overwhelmed with how tactful and how successful and how concentrated and how purposeful the agenda of homosexuality, LGBTQ, is a tool in the hand of Satan with the purpose of hacking away at the foundations of America. What we once stood for, what we once understood to be evil, wrong, dark, is now out in the open under Barack Hussein Obama. He comes out, he lights up the White House. The homosexual agenda, now men are marrying men, women are marrying women. It's through the television, it's on the news media, it's in your computer, it's on your iPhone, and it's everywhere, sweeping the nation from its foundation. And the foundations of the United States of America have been hacked at by the hewers that came because we capitulated, we tolerated, we went silent. And so where are we today? Now, the nation has a net thrown over it, and the harpoons and the majority, they're stabbing at it. And America's in the throes of death. And so people start praying. Oh, my God, we're in trouble. And the people pray. And they pray for Donald Trump to win the election because Hillary Clinton, everybody knows it's a communist rules for radical, Saul Alinsky, you know, a student. And she wants to employ globalism. And don't let Hillary in. Benghazi, remember the pounding away of the hard drive. I mean, clean, you know, the corruption is so deep. God forbid Bill, her husband, would be found out to be going to pedophile island, but not so. They'll protect that whole thing. The American people will never know that the thousands of high-powered politicians in this country and around the world are doing such things. We'll keep that covered up. Just let the people believe with our sound bites and our speeches that we got this under control. It is so deplorable and disgusting that 200 years ago, if this would have happened, the American people would have rose up and hung Bill Clinton. They would have hung Barack Obama. They would have. They would have done it. The founding fathers were no messing around. They fought a revolution for the nation, and they would not allow a Black Lives Matter or an Antifa to rise up, or an NFCA or whatever they're called. They would not have allowed it to happen. 100 years ago, they wouldn't have allowed it. 50 years ago, they wouldn't have allowed it, because it's a lie. What's going on is not about race. It's not about any of that. Slavery? It's not about race. This is not about slavery. There's not a person listening to this program right now that hates other color people. Not one of us. And slavery was abolished long ago. So this isn't about slavery. And this isn't about race. This is about the agenda. Ilhan Omar is calling not only for the defunding of the police, but a collapse of the entire system that has been built in this country. So this isn't about that. This is about the original agenda of a communist leader by the name of Khrushchev, who said, we will destroy you without a shot fired. So now President Trump comes to power. From the day he became president and before, the news media went crazy. They didn't want any contender with Hillary Clinton. They didn't want anybody messing. They had an agenda. The Communist News Network was very clear about that. The capitulation of others, it was very clear. Donald Trump gets elected. They start having pictures in Central Park and plays about him being gangbanga, shot in the head. Then they show the noose around his neck. They take his head off and hold it up in comedy for the world to see. They hate this man. Why? Why do they hate him? And it's never, ever stopped. Coming up on 4 years, it's never ended. The never-ending progressive left communistic agenda, because he represented an obstacle to their forward motion, because finally some people started praying. Finally, churches started giving up on their doctrine and their sectarian ways and said, let's get to the stadiums and let's get to the mountains and let's get to the parks and let's pray. The church started praying. Lou Engels, others out there led prayer movements. People started praying. And God gave a reprieve. And Donald Trump said, well, we don't want to be part of NAFTA anymore. It's a disaster. He said, you know what? We don't want like this United Nations thing. America is a sovereign, independent nation. And Donald J. Trump did say that we need to work on ourselves. He was bringing America back to its foundation. But what he's finding, there seems to be no foundation left. And what God did was allow some years for God's people to wake up to the reality of the end of a nation and the coming of a global Antichrist kingdom. That's biblical. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. It's in the Word of God. The whole world, every nation on earth, and all people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be worshiping the satanic Lucifer, the Luciferian global government. It's coming. And we've had 4 years to address the issues. And now it's happening so fast, and it's not going away. It's not going away. It's not going to be like Occupy Wall Street years ago, where for months they went out there, oh, it was all over the news, and it just went away. What you see now will never go away. In fact, the third and the fourth waves are coming. It's coming. What have you done with the 4 years you've had? How have you prepared? What have you told your family, your friends, your churches, your pastors? What have you been saying? What have you been doing? How have you been living? What are you doing? Because these waves are real. And it's getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And so that's how we're going to begin our broadcast today. And we want to invite people on. I had the pleasure, by the way, today of finally looking out on one of my Facebooks. Somebody sent something and called me a hater. Some local resident by the name of Matthew wrote in, "Don't give this man a penny. He's a hater." And of course, Matthew, and according to his web book, he's a homosexual man, I would imagine, Matt. And I want to thank you for calling me a hater because it caused me to search my heart. And if you're not a homosexual, I'd like to figure it out. But your Facebook ID thing kind of gives that impression very strongly. And you're definitely a supporter of Black Lives Matter. So I'm not taken back by your feelings about being a hater. But I do want to explain something to you, Matthew. Okay. I would like to explain this to you. When it comes to the human race, the evidence is in, there's never been a human being that we have hated. Not one. We have ministered to homosexuals, blacks, whites, Latinos. We are not haters of people. But I do want to show you something that we do hate. And this is wisdom, Matthew. Let me just bring this to you in Psalm 15, okay? And after I read your stuff, my Bible was open. I started reading this. I thought, wow, that's very interesting. Psalm 15:1, Matthew, here's what it says. This was a psalm of King David. He said, "Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly," all right? So Matt, if you want to dwell in the tabernacle of God, or if I want to, the number one thing is I need to walk uprightly. And that word uprightly there, don't leave yet, Matt, I want to show you something, is the tamim, and that means to walk in the entirety of morality. So be moral. It also means with integrity. It says to be without blemish, to be perfect in your love for God, to be without spot and undefiled. No compromise, in other words, right? So he that will dwell or abide in the tabernacle and dwell in the holy hill of God, who will be in heaven with God forever and ever in eternal bliss, he will walk uprightly and works righteousness. In other words, he does what is right. Then, Matt, listen, and speaks the truth in his heart. And the only truth in my heart is the word of God. But this is the truth. Watch this in verse 3, Matt. He that backbites not with his tongue, no backbiting, nor does evil to his neighbor, we don't. Since we have been born again, no evil to our neighbor, none, zero. And he does not take up a reproach against his neighbor. So we don't take up reproaches against our neighbor. And let's look at that word reproach just real quick before I get to the meat. This is the kirpah. It means a taunt. It means to disgrace, a pudenda, a rebuke, unnecessarily. Now watch this, Matt. Here it is, verse 4. Talking about this person that wants to dwell in the holy mount of God and wants to be in the tabernacle of God. Listen, please listen. It's the word of God, okay? In whose eyes, so this righteous person who does what is right, in their eyes, a vile person is contemned. A vile person. What is a vile person? A vile person here is the mas, okay? And what it means is a rejected reprobate. Pretty strong language. A rejected reprobate who is despised, abhorred, loathsome, utterly vile. So, Matt, again, listen to what it says. In whose eyes, the righteous man's eyes, when he looks and he sees a vile person, that vile person is contemned. Not condemned, but contemned with a T. And that word contemned is the baza. And that literally means he is disesteemed, despised, disdained, to scorn. Now, that's pretty heavy language. And again, it gets to the reprobate. It's talking about those with a reprobate mind, Matthew, who call good evil, like you called me a hater. And the reason why you called me a hater is because I'm calling out the sin in our country. And that's why you call me a hater. You don't know me. You've never met me. You don't know our pastoral ministry for 28 years. You don't know the love of God that is manifested forth in the healing of those who want to escape the corrupt bondage that the devil put them in to further the cause of governmental reinventation or whatever you want to call it. These people are pawns, and nobody cares about their soul, especially the government that promotes their homosexual style, because they're going to die having been used, and they're going to perish forever in eternal damnation. That's the word of God. So love is to reach out and say to them, repent, and to declare what they're doing is vile, and it is contemned, it is despising, and it is to be rejected, Matt. And here's what it says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honors. You see, people that are righteous, they honor them that fear the Lord. Homosexuals don't fear the Lord. Now, if they've been a homosexual and they go, oh my God, I know by the Spirit of the Lord, I've sinned against God. Jesus, I confess it. I repent. Will you forgive me? Yes. And they will be brought back into the kingdom, and we will be there as the hands of God to reach them and show them and then work to bring deliverance and salvation, to love them and say, you too were a sinner just like us, but you've admitted like we did that God is holy. And you fear the Lord as we did. So let's get cleaned up. Such were some of you. You were homosexual. You were pedophile. You were lesbian. You were drunkards and thieves and liars. But now you're washed and you're clean, right? So that's the word of God in 1 Corinthians 6, Matt. And then it says, we who do what is right, we honor them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. In other words, man, I'd rather pay the price than do what is wrong and not change in that commitment. And then it says, he that puts not out his money to usury, nor takes reward against the innocent, he that does these things shall never be moved. So Matt, what you're saying about me being a hater, I hate evil. You're right. In fact, the word of God in the New Testament tells me to hate what is evil, to abhor what is evil. So as far as being a hater, yes, but not against people. The soul of every man and woman on this earth is salvageable until they become reprobate. And the way that a person becomes reprobate is they hate God. They hate God's word. They hate God's laws. And if I were to just go a little bit further here, I would say simply this, Matt, about the reprobate mind. Let's take a look at it, how people get reprobate. Okay, and we're just going to read out of Romans chapter 1, and as you know the scriptures as well as I do, probably, if you've been studying it all, and I know a lot of folks study the Bible and try to twist it to make it say what they want it to say, but we're not going to suggest that. So let's talk about for the wrath of God, okay? Let's talk about the wrath of God. And here's what it says, Matt, okay? This is Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 18, okay? This is what God's word says. A righteous man or woman will look through the biblical lens, and they will see this is the truth, okay? No wrestling with it. No twisting it like a serpent. Here's the truth. For the wrath of God, in verse 18, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, Matt, we don't want to take God's truth and hold it in unrighteousness. We don't want to twist God's truth, right? I mean, let God be true and every man a liar. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God, we all can know about God, is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. The evil in this world right now, God has showed us it is evil. We know it. It's written in us. He told us in our conscience, this is evil. But somehow we've allowed the enemy to say, no, it's good. And the prophet Isaiah said, in the last days and the times to come, they will call good evil, and they'll call evil good. You're living in a prophetic moment. God's word is educating you if you'll receive it. And then it says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Matt, the homosexual sinner, has no excuse. The lesbian sinner has no excuse. The pedophilia individual has no excuse. There's no excuse. The thief has no excuse. The liar has no excuse. The murderer has no excuse. The proud man has no excuse. It's all sin. It's all sin, Matt. And that's why we are all guilty sinners. Every human being on the planet is a sinner. The good news is that God sent a Savior so that if we would confess our sin and admit it, we would receive the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the blood of Jesus that was poured out on the cross and at the whipping post. And when they murdered him and shed his blood for you and for me, we actually get the blessing of being forgiven for what we now admit was wrong. And then we repent, which means we turn away from it and we don't do it anymore. This is the journey of a Christian. This isn't hatred against people, Matt. It's hatred for the evil that's promoted that people get entangled in and taken away into eternal damnation. Because they know it's wrong, but they've allowed themselves to become reprobate. This is hard sayings, Matt, but listen to what it says in verse 21. Remember, there's no excuse when you stand before the throne of God, when I stand before the throne of God. If I'm being accused of being a religious bigot, if I'm being accused of being a hater, I'm going to stand before God and give an account for that. So what I do is I examine my heart. Do I hate any human being on this earth? No. Do I hate what human beings do? I even hate what I used to do, Matt. Now I look back what I used to do and I despise what I used to do. I hate it. I don't even want to know me. Believe me. So yes, we hate what is evil. This is okay. This is not condemned by God. All of his kids should fear the Lord and hate what is evil. All of us, the whole human race should hate what is evil and know that the evil is coming from the demonic spirit of Satan who wants to destroy the creation of God. We know how beautiful and how valuable a soul is. But if we don't tell the truth, the argument is so weak right now. And you're witnessing the removal of truth from society. Matt, if we go into deception and all we have is our truth or what the news media tells us or the lead homosexuals tell us, if that's the truth we have in this generation, hundreds of years in this country, they knew the truth. It was evil and wrong. But if we in our final generation with abortion, bloodshed, twisted, perverse, sexual things, men doing ungodly things to one another, man, that's disgusting, isn't it? And yet they glamorize it. And yet we're saying that's what we have, the truth. And we take God's word away and we take conscience away. Our own conscience knows it's wrong. And yet if we harden that conscience, take away God's truth, then we start to believe the lie and we become reprobate. And here's what the Bible says about that. And I'm just going to skip all the way down. Well, no, let's go to 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they knew what was right and wrong from God's perspective, they glorified him not as God by obeying him and fearing him. Neither were thankful to God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Matt, you're seeing people with vain imaginations promoting godless things. Why? Because their foolish heart has been darkened by sin and by Satan's power to lie and deceive. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. Oh, all these leaders, all these governmental people promoting all these things from the Supreme Court on down. They profess themselves to be wise, but Matt, they became fools. You have to be a fool to promote homosexual lifestyle. You have to be a fool to promote pedophilia, homosexuality, abortion. You have to be a fool to promote pornography, intercourse, heterosexual fornication, whatever. You have to be a fool to promote it and say it's okay. That's like a dad telling his daughter on Friday night, she's 15 years old, hey, daughter, go out, have a good time tonight while you're fornicating in the back seat because I promote that for you. That's ridiculous. What real father would promote his 15-year-old daughter going out on a date and fornicating and saying, I promote it? A fool. A fool. would do that. And a foolish father would say to his son, "Son, you're 16. You're going on a date. Have a good time. Go ahead and fornicate. Enjoy it. I promote you doing that, son." What kind of a father would do that? A fool. And so the word says, Matt, now this is the interesting thing. It says they became so foolish in 23 that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, whose wisdom is pure, into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. They made God something of the vain imagination of their own mind. They don't even know who God is anymore. They fashioned a God in themselves. And what the homosexual community has done and the abortion industry has done is fashion a God who's okay with what you're doing. And it's not okay. And again, Matt, it's not about slavery right now. And it's not about race. You're playing into their game. They want to use slavery and race rhetoric to start a war because they want to break the nation and bring globalization, which is under the Antichrist spirit. Why would you want to live under that? Because when you're dead, man, your worm will never die. Eternal darkness, eternal separation. Why would you want that? For what? What are you so angry about? Why are you angry at white people? Why are you angry at old slave owners? Why? Because you haven't been healed. You know why? Because Isaiah chapter 1 says they're still bruised and wounds and putrefaction. They haven't been bound up. They haven't been healed. Why? Because they've rejected the great physician, Jesus Christ. And if you reject Jesus Christ in yourself or in a society, you're never going to be healed. So all these old wounds come up and the enemy uses them to bring division, to collapse, and to destroy. And you're playing into it. And yet you claim to be intelligent. You know what you're talking about. Don't help this man. He's a hater. Where do you get that from? Where's your intelligence from? Do we hate sin? Yes, because we know what it does. Matt, let's get wise. Let's look at verse 25, says this, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what you're seeing right now, Matt. That's what you're playing into. They're changing the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature, giving homosexuals and lesbians and perverse people the right to do what they want to do. They're serving the creature rather than the creator. More than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But here's the problem, Matt. Here is the real problem in verse 26. For this cause, because that's where men want to be, because that's where you're going. And I'm trying to tell you, don't go there. Don't play into that thing, man. Come out, be separate, turn to God and Jesus Christ, and not what they told you about him. Read your own Bible. I'm reading you just a few verses. Okay. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. What did we read in Psalm 15? That a righteous man contemns, despises a vile person. Well, God has caused them, what does it say? For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use, which would have been a man, into that which is against nature. Bestiality, other women. But just to clarify in verse 27, Matt, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. And you know what unseemly means, Matt, in the Greek? In the Greek, it is ashkamosuna. Ooh, what a word, right? It means, you ready? The pudenda, indecency, shame. The same definition of a vile person in Psalm 15. So again, they receive, and here's the hurtful part. You ready? This is the, nobody wants to talk about this, Matt. Okay? Not only do they work that which is unseemly, they receive in themselves that recompense or the consequence, sin, which was due them. Wow. The word is actually error, but the actual Greek meaning for the word error is plana, and it means their fraudulence, They're straying away from orthodoxy or piety, deceit, delusion. They don't want God, Matt. So if you're in an environment that doesn't want God, who is love, who condemns this kind of lifestyle, and you're in an environment of people that say, "You, we need to love, we love." The fact is that love is hypocritical, short-lived, whereas the love of God and the fear of the Lord is eternal and it's pure. And every person that's ever experienced the genuine love of God through the new birth of being born again by the Holy Spirit of God will tell you it's an unforgettable experience. And we want that for you. I want that for you. But I want you to notice what happens to the people. There's a recompense, Matt. They receive in themselves. Have you noticed how men's personalities are affected by their homosexuality? Every other sin, you don't see a personality shift. But my God, Matt, have you ever sat down and just talked with a homosexual whose whole facial expressions have been torqued? They've been disfigured. Their conversation, their words are other than what is actually meant to be. You see, in the homosexual community and in the lesbian community, there are people who you just look at them and say, "This is what you're doing to yourself. You're getting the reward of your sin of homosexuality and lesbianism, particularly, is affecting your personality. And then you are going to die whenever you do, and you're never going to know the love of God because somebody told you that God loves your homosexuality. God loves your lesbianism. God loves your fornication. God loves your sin." That's what you're saying. No, God doesn't love your sin. God hates your sin. He loves you. But he tells you to repent from your sin. But if you won't admit it's sin, if you're going to bite into the communistic narrative, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, Matt. Every life on this earth matters. Every life matters to God. It's true. But you're biting in to the apple, to the deceit of these times. And I wanted to help you. I really wanted to help you, Matt, with all of my heart. And I hope some way that this conversation does help you. I'm not sure if it will or not. But having said that today, I want to, first of all, Matt, maybe you'll appreciate this. And to everybody else out there, let me just say good morning. Let's see what's going on in our chat room right now. Good morning to Kevin, who's watching us live today. God bless you, Kevin. Good morning to Cindy. Hello, Cindy. By the way, Cindy, watch this. My hair. I think somebody, Cindy cuts my hair. Now, Cindy, you have to know that Italian men, they're very concerned about their hair, right? And Cindy cut my hair, and somebody, I think her sister, said she liked my hair. But watch this. I want to show you what we have to deal with. This is something we have to work out concerning hair. Are you ready? I just thought you might enjoy this for a moment, okay? Let's get to it. This is what we deal with as Italian men when it comes to our hair.
We just washed the hair. Yeah. You know, I work on my hair a long time, and you hit it. He hits my hair.
You see, we have to deal with this stuff all the time. Hair is very important. Cindy, thanks for playing with me on that one. God bless you. Sonia, Mias, good morning. Kevin, good morning, everyone. Shalom. Good morning, Sonia. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Ian Rude, good morning, Pastor. Good morning to you, Ian. Scarlett, good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Scarlett. God bless you. Hopefully, we'll be seeing you real soon. Sandra Matlow, good morning, Pastor. Hope you're having a good day so far. Many God bless you and your family. I received the blessing. I'm having a great day. Really am wanting to save souls by the grace and wisdom of God today. Honestly do. Cindy says, good morning, Ian and Laura. Blessings to you. Misty is from, I believe, again, Alaska. Misty Antonson, praises to King Jesus. Good morning. I agree. Good morning from Sharon Evans. Good morning, Sharon. Sandra Matlow, this is the beginning of sorrows, just like the Bible says. It's heading to the last days. We totally agree. Misty Antonson says, was even illegal to swear certain words. It was. It was illegal to use the word that we won't even repeat. Keith Carey, 84. Good morning, Pastor and Sonia. Kevin and Carol, good morning to you, Keith. Sandra says, Jesus is warning his children to get ready now. It's up to us if we want to live for him or not. And then Keith is saying, I remember Khrushchev doing that. Must have been in the early 60s. Thank you for straightening out my timeline. I always need help doing that. My dad was so upset in 1963 when they took prayer out of school. This was the beginning, I would say. We're going to get an actual date on that, by the way. But 1963, while they were taking prayer out of school, don't worry. God was also birthing things into the earth that would contend. Amen. So Scarlett says, wait a second. It was Sandra says, thank you so much for your message to all of us. You're welcome, Sandra. And then Cindy said, thank you, Ian. Ian said, 1956, that's what we were thinking, Nikita Khrushchev's chilling prediction, we will take America without firing a shot. Ian, you're like an encyclopedia. God bless you and thank you. So it was 1956 when this happened. All right, so Scarlett says, a Christian nation. There is a full documentary on YouTube about Alfred Kinsey. Yes, there is. And anybody that wants to look at it, be prepared to see what has produced a spell in our nation. Scarlett also says, my microphone picked up part of your sentence. Oh, that's okay. That's good. Keith says, I wish for you to bottle this message and somehow share on Fox News. I don't know if they'd take it or not, but maybe things will get a little bit more raw and the cosmetics will come down on Fox News and maybe we can get back to reporting real news, right? So this is Ikukua Malaku. Thanks for speaking out the truth. Hey, Ikukua, I hope I'm saying your name right. Wherever you're from, thanks for tuning in and you are welcome, sir. And I trust you probably do the same thing yourself. All right, Sonia says, please share today's message with everyone. Okay, I think maybe there's a resonation going on right now. Let's go to Cindy. Ian says this. Netflix has produced 5 seasons of a show called Lucifer, which depicts Satan as an unlikely hero. Society has changed rapidly, even in the last few years. It feels like the times are accelerating as we approach the end of days. They certainly are. Cindy says, you tell the truth, Pastor Vincent. Thank you for that. We want to do that. Keep praying for us. Praise the Lord. Sandra Matlow says, I am so thankful for your preaching. You preach the truth from what God puts in your heart. Thank you. You are welcome. And thank you for the kind words, Sandra Matlow. Cindy is saying amen. Ian says again, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own heart, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. You're absolutely right. This is a salvation moment for people, not condemnation. Tell the truth in love and reach out to save. I totally agree. And always watch our own hearts. Kevin Hauger says, that which is not of God, of what he taught us, sin, is what we strive against. That's right. We strive against everything God says not to do. But we're not striving alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us to break addictions, bondages, whether they are drug, alcohol, sexual addictions. There's victory in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Too many testimonies to deny that reality. Then our friend Sean says, have you watched Pastor Dana's Vision Dream for America? Yes, about 2 weeks ago when it first came out on a Saturday night, we showed it to our whole church. What a confirmation it was, Sean. Thanks for asking. It is a very powerful reality, and we believe he really had a vision and dreams from God. We don't listen to other people that are weighing in on it. We just kind of know he's right. I'm going to leave it at that. Brenda Torville, good morning. Good morning, Brenda. God bless you, dear sister. Kevin says, those who don't see sin as sin are blind and will defend it because they do not know. You're so right, Kevin. That is the truth. And then we have Kevin saying, Sean, God is about to punish America and it will fall. That is truth. That is truth. You know what I'm always reminded of, Sean, when I hear stuff like that? Revelation chapter 18, when Babylon is destroyed, the saints of God and the prophets of God stand back and rejoice. Man, who wants to live in this sin-sick world and let it continue on? The time is coming. This daughter of Babylon, America, will be destroyed. Then the mother of all harlots will arise in the last days with the beast, Lucifer the dragon, all of it. And that's the time we're preparing to go through, one way or the other. I hope we're up to speed on that. So Kevin says, we watch Pastor Dana's YouTube Saturday. Thank you for confirming that, Kevin. Keith, amen, that's right. Kevin Hauger said, it is sad that the minorities which don't know our history, nor our beliefs, nor God's commandments, statutes, precepts are trying to dictate principles to us. God is our king, not man. Well said, Brother Kevin. He said also, Sean comes in, America is Babylon. Yes, I believe the seventh daughter, actually, Sean. We may agree or disagree, but you're right here. America is Babylon. We become just like it. And God said in 1 hour, he will burn it with fire and leave it desolate and naked. And how he's going to do it is by a foreign army, which is Russia and Chinese. Be prepared, my brothers and sisters. We absolutely agree, but we don't believe that America is the final Babylon. It may be. I believe Babylon is a global, worldwide system. America's been in the way, but we've adapted to the Babylonian ways. Once it's out of the way and it's full on, then we'll rise the global mother of all harlots. That's my take on it. I could be wrong. So Kevin says God is directing people to move to his place in this country, that he will put a hedge around. He wants those people to be clean and walking in his way. We must make ourselves clean to be those if you are directed. God is speaking and teaching us this. Be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. It's happening fast. People aren't going to be able to stir themselves quick enough. Hopefully you've been awakened and enlightened to the reality and you're not biting into the propaganda anymore. This is not going back, dear friends. You're in it. And the acceleration is beyond anything we've ever seen. Get ready. Third wave sort of war will come. Lights out will follow. Whatever that means, we're going to keep praying about it and studying it out. Sean says, I believe, where'd you go, Sean? Let me see where I messed up here. I believe out of the aftermath of the fall of America, the Antichrist will make his appearance and start doing his work. We agree. 100%. Absolutely agree. Kevin has something different to say about that. Well, let's see. If America is taken out of the way and there's no longer a resistance to globalization, that means that the beast, the son of perdition, the man of sin will come. The Antichrist will come to power in a global one world government and begin his tribulation. I happen to agree with that 100%. So we have some yes, 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 LOLs. That must have been about the hair thing from Cindy. I hope you enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. So Donna is saying, good morning, Donna. Good morning, Pastor. Thank you for this study. Very helpful. I'm glad to hear that, Donna, and looking forward to seeing all of you very soon. Sean says, hello, Pastor, my brother in Christ. Hello, Sean. Nice to meet you, sir. Misty, again, the last time we prayed before class in Alaska was 1972. Can you believe that? 1972 was the last time they prayed in their classroom. What a bummer. Misty also said, then, 1980 in Seattle, the Ten Commandments came off the wall in high school. Right? The war is on. The war was on big time. Ikukua Malaku says, how do you mean, please? Note that the Antichrist will appear after the great falling away before the rapture. That's biblical sequence. Let me get this right, Ikuku. And I'm just going to call you Ikukua, okay? So Ikuku, you're saying, note that the Antichrist will appear after the great falling away. I agree, 1,000%, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. before the rapture. Let me make sure, because the Antichrist will appear after the great falling away, before the rapture. If I believe what you're saying, we're in 100% agreement. In other words, there's no such thing as a pre-tribulational rapture. We know that the catching away, the word rapture is never used in the scripture. It's the harpazo. It's being caught up to meet the Lord. And that is after the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. Very clear. I think we're on the same page. All right. Angelina, shalom. Good morning, Angelina. I hope we get to see you very soon. She's agreeing. See you soon. Oh, good. We're glad to hear that. God bless you. All right. So that's where we're at right now. And let's see what's going on. We have some phone calls coming in already right now. I want to get to Blog Talk Radio. And we've got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast. Let's keep the conversation going. I'm going to go online right now, 479-903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Oops, let me get that on there. Good morning, yes. 479. Hello.
Good morning, Pastor.
Hello, the Lord. George. Praise the Lord.
You know, the time frame you were talking about how the family is being destroyed, I really feel another area that they were, the old enemy was when people had their wives had to go out and work in order to buy and have a lot of goodies and what have you, and to keep up in the prices and things. And then the Jezebel spirit that came into in that whole area, and in some of the times that they had to counsel with families, that has really destroyed the family because of the financial area that they got themselves into. But it was all led by goodies and what have you that they had to have instead of being fruitful and being wise about their spending and what they need to do for the Lord in their timing. And that whole area is another area that really has really helped an awful lot in destroying when that. And I can remember that when my dear wife Patricia didn't have to work. She wanted to be home to take care of the, be home when the children came home from school and be able to sit down at the kitchen table together and talk about things. But I just wanted to input that.
Well, it's an incredible input, George. And you're at 87 years old right now. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, at 87 years old, growing up in this country, you worked on the first computer systems, I believe, in Israel. You've seen some pretty amazing changes, but have you seen anything like we've seen in the last 4 months?
Knowledge alone has been demonstrated to me here by my son-in-law. No, I haven't seen it so fast and rapidly happening. It's going to happen so suddenly.
Yeah, and it is. It's happening so fast, George. I want to thank you so much. We miss you, sir. You stay safe and healthy up there where you're at, okay?
Okay.
All right, George. Lord bless you, and thank you for weighing in on this conversation. I really do appreciate it. If you're out there today and you have a question or a comment, you could call the number 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. Make sure to press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the conversation. We talked about a number of things on the broadcast today, and genuinely, we want to make sure that the advocation is not to condemn, but reach out and to have a narrative, a biblical narrative that you can contend with people to win their souls and to bring some out of the delusion and the darkness that is just growing around the world. We just are feeling the encroachment. It's getting closer. The persecution of Christians will mount in these days that lie ahead, and you need to be prepared. If you are a Christian, you need to know how to handle situations. You need to know a lot. And what does that mean? We talked about it yesterday. How am I going to deal with the arrival of the Antichrist? And how am I going to deal with the four winds of that Antichrist in a government that is antagonistic and hateful towards anything called Christianity? They're actually passing laws all over the nation right now that it's a discriminatory bill, and I know where they're going to go with it. If you say anything to hurt someone's feelings in the homosexual community or in any other way, in the race, whatever, you're going to get in trouble. So in other words, where these bills are going, these laws, they're outlawing the word of God. There will not be the allowance of a minister or any person to proclaim the truth of God as we have done on this broadcast today. The time for removal on television, AM/FM radio, outlets that are more visible, there's going to come the removal of these things. We're going to do what we're doing as long as we possibly can. We have a vision in this ministry, and it's to start home fellowships. Maybe now you can understand the God wisdom behind doing such a thing. Maybe now you can understand that maybe God was foretelling a time in the history of this country that the glory of God will not be in church buildings on the corner, but in homes throughout this nation, with a few godly men and women praying and experiencing the presence of God, being healed and encouraged and edified and blessed and sanctified and abundant life granted. But I'm telling you, it's in the home fellowships. I believe that God has revealed it. That's our mission. We've been to Tyler and Bullard, Texas. We're on our way next week, Wednesday morning. We will not be on the air. We don't have a computer yet that will match that up. We may get one. One has been offered to our ministry. I just didn't want to take it and just not be able to use it. But you know that RV we were praying about, I told you about, that $35,000, 2006, 26,000-mile RV? We're going to look at it Sunday. And we've had three people have given donations to that RV. The purpose of it is that Patricia and I will live in that. We will live on our piece of property, which will be really awesome. It's already paid for. We don't have mortgages or rents over there. We will have an RV that we could travel and do what God put in our hearts to do. And I would say if any minister of God had a calling to go out there and start home fellowships, rather than going to hotels and rather than having to go to restaurants, what we did in the 1990s, we stayed in our RV. We ate our own food. We didn't have to inconvenience people in their homes. And it's a beautiful way for us to go, and it's easy. And if the body of Christ will get behind the vision and partner with us, we believe this Sunday the potential to actually purchase that RV, which is $35,000, which is an amazing price. It's a 2006 Dolphin and 26,000 miles, and it's been restored within. And again, Sunday, we're going to go and drive it, and we're going to look into it. We're going to see it. And if you would like to participate in kingdom business, I have a friend that every month hands me several hundreds of dollars so that we could continue on Kerm Radio. And what I told him yesterday, a dear friend, a woman from the AM/FM radio station called in, and I've got the voicemail, and she was asking with tears, do not get off the radio program. We love your teachings. We need to hear what you have. Another gentleman said, what do I need to do to keep you on the air? And I told my friend who's been giving the money every month, this is your crown as well. This is fruit to your labor. You are making sure that we're staying on the air each month. And so the fruit of this ministry goes to your account as well. And I believe that is a biblical reality. I don't believe that is jive talk. I don't think that is manipulation. Paul the Apostle said, partner with me in the ministry. And if you would like to partner with Patricia and I in getting this RV, we're ready to do it. And when Patricia, Mrs. Xavier, says, let's do it, I know we have a thumbs up. And so we're ready to go. We'd love to go Sunday. We'd love to purchase that RV. And we might even take it up to South Dakota and cancel that fee of $560 at the hotel. And we could just be in our RV. If that's God's will, then God will make it come to pass. And if you would like to participate in that, if there are 35 people out there that would like to donate $1,000, God bless you. There's a way to do it. If there's one person that says, here is $35,000, get that RV. If it bears witness with your heart, God bless you. We're ready to go. Doors are opening, and we're getting confirmations almost daily that we are on the right track. Some doors are shutting, and new doors are opening. So I'm going to leave that with you. The way that you would actually help do that is by going to our web page at NWM Global. I'm telling you exactly what it's for. It is to get on the road and to start churches in homes across this country. As many people will open their doors to us, we will go. And we will not be a burden on anybody, and we will not be wasting funds going to restaurants and all this different stuff or in hotels. We will stay in our RV. It'll pay for itself in 1 year if it's as useful as I know it will be. So the website is NWM Global. That stands for New Wine Ministry, NWM Global, one word, lowercase, and .org, NWMGlobal.org. And the address is now on the YouTube. It is on Facebook. For anybody that would like to donate, there is a way you could do it by going to our NWMGlobal.org, go to the donation tab, and that's how you would give. If you are that individual that you're saying, you know what, I have $35,000 for the Lord's work, I want you to have that RV, just give me a call. Call me at 858-864-8712, or let us know by text or email or any other way you would like to do it. So we put it out there. We haven't done that in 3 years, asked for such a thing. It's time. It's time to work. We cannot do it alone. Either the body will come alongside and partner with us. And then the Apostle Paul did say this, by the way, to those that did support his ministry. Now, after they partnered with him, now may my God supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Put it in context. It's a beautiful partnership. And if you'd like to partner with Patricia and I to get this going, we're ready to go. As I said, we are ready to go. I've got another call coming in, 479-238. Let's take that call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Bill. You know, God's word said that it would not return unto him void. So the word that you were speaking this morning to the young man that had a misconception of who you are, and you know, as far as the home churches go, I sent you a video that showed where left-wing radicals were going to churches on Sunday and jerking parishioners off of the steps of their church as they were going into church, not allowing them to go to church. They were jerking them off the steps. So, you know, the church building itself is going to become a dinosaur pretty soon, and it'll be home church just like it was in the beginning. And, you know, I believe it's in the Gospel of Matthew. You'll have to correct me on that. But it says not to think about what you're going to say when that time comes, because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say when they come and arrest you and lay hands on you, and what you'll speak will just blow their minds. And the last thing I want to say is, on Kerm Radio, you're in the seventh year on the seventh month of the seventh year. It's time for the home ministry thing to move forward. And you know what? Kerm Radio will be a distant memory in the rearview mirror. And Omega Radio will explode nationwide and globally. Have a blessed day, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. That's a word of knowledge right there. We'll take that and receive it, because that's one of the doors that may be closing at Kerm Radio, AM, FM Radio. We've taken this message out for 7 years, and we are in the seventh month. So most likely that's going to be happening, which will free us up for more time on this ministry. And to my dear friend Matt, who brought the accusation and said, don't give this man a penny, he's a hater. Well, if that came from a source that was biblically sound and godly, you know, maybe. It's not the truth, Matt. It's not the truth. And I think that the enemy may have used your voice and your writing to suggest something that was not true. And because that's not coming from the proper source, my prayer to God for God's people is they would see that this is kingdom work, and that they will support it. I'm going to leave it there. I've got a couple more comments coming in. And again, if you have a question or a comment, you are welcome to call the number 818-369-0326. We've got about 6 minutes left on the broadcast. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. And Misty saying, thank you, Pastor. God bless all his children. You are welcome, Misty. Angelina is saying back, had a major lightning strike that kicked me out of the stream. Yeah, I think that happened to a lot of people, Kevin. I noticed that quickly. So 818-369-0326 is the number to call. And what we're going to do right now is I'm going to start winding down. I want to bless the body of Christ. I want to bless the people that are listening. We've brought the truth of our hearts and God's word out into the airwaves today. Know what time it is. Continue to pray so you know how to prepare and to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now is the most explosive wisdom you could possibly have. If you and I honor the Lord, He will honor us. If you and I serve the Lord, He will make sure that we are taken care of in protection, in having our needs met, being safe, and kept by the power of God. Because, folks, that's how we are kept. According to 1 Peter, we are kept by the power of God. Keep your heads up out there. Stay sober. Pray in the Spirit. Be filled with the joy of the Lord. Do not be afraid of anybody or anything but God. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't allow the juice of this moment to poison your soul. Keep spitting out the bait of Satan, offense. Learn to turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give the coat with the jacket. Calmly, lovingly, willingly. God will tell you when it's time to move in another manner. Right now is a critical time because of the urgency of the acceleration that is happening in our nation. As my brother said earlier today, the footmen have been here. The chariots are coming. I view the third wave of the sword of war as being a chariot. And you will hear the sound of the hoofbeats. You will hear the sound. At the same time, you, in the body of Yeshua, in the Spirit of God, will hear the thunder of God as well. There's a message in the thunder. There are seven messages in the seven thunders of God in Revelation chapter 10 that are about to utter their voice. The concealed message is going to go viral within the house of God. These messages are going to be incredible. So listen for the thunder. Let it rumble in your own heart. Make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you haven't done anything to get it blotted out according to Revelation 3. We don't want to walk on eggshells or under legalism or stress. No, walk in the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be strong and bold as a lion, for the righteous are as bold as lions. Be bold. Continue to be a blessing wherever you go. And don't be afraid to tell the truth. Bring the narrative and win men's hearts and minds. All right, I think that's it for right now. Keith is saying, please update the various funds, such as travel and RV purchases. Well, and I could tell you that we received so far two donations for $200 each, which is $400. And we received a $50 donation, which was all asked to be towards the RV. So right now we have $450 towards our $35,000 goal to purchase that RV. And we're going to leave it right there. But thank you for asking. And we will tell you as our traveling and as we go, I will do that. All right. That's it for me. Be blessed. God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on Omega Radio. Right now, there's a round table discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier and some incredible people that you're going to love the wisdom that you're going to hear right now. OmegaRadio.org. I'm Pastor Vince. Shalom and God bless everybody. Till we meet again. Shalom.